The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Sarah Spain, Israel Gutierrez, Kevin Blackstone, great to have you here. Yesterday, I had a panel, and right out of the gate, I asked them the chances KC had of repeating this season. Only Bill Plaschke bit. And that probably says more about Bill Plaschke than anything else. But I ask it to you right now. After seeing last night, after seeing out an offense that needed no help, and a seemingly stud running back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and after they rolled Houston in the season opener 34-20, Sarah Spain, around the horn to you. Is it possible these Chiefs are better than last season?
It is entirely possible, and that is terrifying. You saw what the Texans decided to do last night. They said to Patrick Mahomes, you're not beating us with the deep ball to Tyreek Hill. You're not beating us with your arm. And he said, sure, no problem. I'll just check down. I'll throw some short passes. I'll give it to my new best friend, CEH, who's going to show you what a real running back looks like, because this is the kind of offense that can make any running back look good. He is just the fourth player in the last 30 years to have at least 130 yards and a touchdown in his debut, and all three before him went on to win Rookie of the Year or a rushing title. This guy is going to feast in this offense, and when he doesn't, it's going to be because teams say, we got to stop this kid, and then Tyreek Hill's going to be deep down the sideline. This is scary stuff for the rest of the NFL.
So now you'd say chances of a repeat for you, have they increased now? Do you believe it's better than 50-50?
I'm still taking the field, but I'm taking the Chiefs by a lot more than anyone else to win it.
Israel Gutierrez, is it possible Kansas City is better than they were last year?
I mean, I'll follow with that answer. I do think they're going to repeat, and I think it is because they'll be better, and it's not just because of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's also because of that defense, which, you know, in the playoffs last year sort of had a little bit of a struggle, had to find their way, if you will, before that team or Patrick Mahomes could save them and continue to go. And you didn't see any issues yesterday. You saw Deshaun Watson getting pressured a lot, and then you combine that with, as Sarah said, an offense that can just adjust on the fly. We already knew Edwards-Helaire was going to get a lot of carries this season, but given that Texans change up on their defense, what does Patrick Mahomes have to do? Well, he does what any great quarterback does. You see through the crowd in the middle of the defense, and you make those throws, and they're there for him because he sees them, and a lot of quarterbacks don't. So, yeah, I don't see the holes just yet. Granted, it's one game, and as Bill Plaschke said yesterday, continuity is the key. Well, yes, they are best prepared to win at the beginning of the season, but I just think they're going to continue to get better because you even saw they're going to find different ways to get Tyreek Hill the ball as well. So they're going to be a disaster for teams.
All right, KB, where are you on? Are the Chiefs better than they were last year?
They certainly look like last night they were better than they were last year. And the thing I want to get on first is where Izzy left off, talking about the defense. You remember 2 years ago we said, oh, they would have won the Super Bowl if not for their defense. So they improved their defense in the offseason, and Spagnuolo comes in and starts tinkering with everything that he had. And by the last six games of last year, they were only giving up 11 points a game, the best in the NFL. And then you saw that last night. They give up the early score, and then their defense was just pasting the Texans. Deshaun Watson couldn't do anything with that rush that was on his neck all night. And then you add in that now Andy Reid has a new Darren Sproles in Edwards-Helaire, and you see how dangerous that offense is.
So you see him as Darren Sproles? I mean, I heard Warwick Dunn. That's what Tony Dungy called him at halftime. Mojo Drew.
Brian Westbrook. Yeah.
Well, okay, now we just named half the league in the last 20 years, but all legitimate running backs, although CEH is what you're going with, Spain as a nickname. Che? I don't know. Come Clyde the Glide, maybe? Maybe he's a Clyde the Glide type player. Let's talk about the Texans for a second, because a playoff team last year won a game in the playoffs, then the trade of Hopkins, and the team you saw last night, Israel Gutierrez, is that a team that knows who they are right now?
I'm so glad you asked the question that way, because I don't know if this team has ever known who they are. Like, what is the Houston Texans' identity? And it used to be, hey, you've got a great playmaker at quarterback. You've got DeAndre Hopkins, who you can go to at pretty much any time if you want to. And the running game was weak, right? Well, now they've got five offensive line starters returning. They've got an improved running game, improved running backs anyway. But they're not as good at the wide receiver positions. But what are they exactly? To me, it should be Deshaun Watson's team. He should find a way to have a system around him where that can complement him. And I just don't see them doing that. And I certainly didn't see that last night.
Sarah, what did you see from Houston?
Yeah, such a good point, Izzy, right? Forever it was if only they had a quarterback, and now it's like if only they had the weapons to help their quarterback. What we saw was Deshaun Watson running around, and that's part of his offensive line, but it's also him looking for wide receivers that can find space. You remember, of course, that Hopkins accounted for 30% of targets, receptions, catches, 26% of their touchdowns. With him gone, now Watkins is struggling even more, Watson, to try to figure out how he can move behind that line. He's holding the ball for a while, looking for some guys. You look at Cobbs and Cook, 4 receptions for 43 yards. It's just one game. It was against the defending champs. Continuity does matter. They are going to work a little bit harder to find their way than the Chiefs have to. But if I'm Watson, I'm looking around, I'm saying, oh boy, I hope these other guys step up in Hopkins' absence, or it's going to be a long season for me on my back.
And KB, are you with the it was just one game, or do you have questions for Bill O'Brien?
Well, first of all, I'll just say it's one game. I mean, we just said that the Kansas City Chiefs are the greatest thing we've ever seen in football.
Okay.
And they were playing in their house. So it's just one game. But I will say that DeAndre Hopkins burn on Twitter was absolutely right in a reminding way, right? Because this was a team that threw the ball downfield a lot. And last night, they weren't really able to do that. Cooks is a little bit banged up coming into that game, so he's got to get well. And he's got to figure out Deshaun Watson how to use what he has around him now and what he lost in that trade. The trade worked out kind of okay, right? They got Johnson, who had 77 yards on the ground and 32 through the air, but they didn't have the explosiveness, obviously, of a Hopkins.
The anthem, the lift every voice, and the moment of silence for unity. Let's talk about that. The Texans team had a vote. The team voted to stay in the locker room for the anthem and lift every voice, which is now allowed by the league. Miami Dolphins, by the way, say they'll do the same on Sunday when they open their season, that the end racism and it takes all of us in the end zones is just fluff. And then the boos from the fans in attendance, the field mic picked up during the players' moment of unity. Just listen to this. So you can hear that, Kevin Blackstone, seeing it play out like it did. How did it strike you, and do you have any expectations for how this is going to go Sunday when the rest of the league opens up?
Well, you know, for me now, it's just far too choreographed and negotiated and planned out, and it's lost a lot of its sting. And I thought last night, you know, the only sting was obviously from people booing what appeared to have been an announcement that said, this is a stand for the fight against racial injustice in this country, which makes you have to wonder about the 17,000 fans for Kansas City who were there. So, you know, how this plays out Sunday after Sunday or game after game is going to be, I think, a lot less interesting than when it was a few years ago. And I'll also say this. I thought it was disingenuous of Kansas City to paint end racism in their end zone when, in fact, they are one of the teams now with the Washington football team having removed its racial slur as a name for the team. They're one of the teams with that left and still have all of that imagery, although they tried to keep people out that have on Indian headdresses. So it really would start with them if they want to end racism to get rid of all that imagery. And I thought that the Dolphins' message, that video that they put out, was spot on.
To that point you just made, Kevin, the Tomahawk Chop was in the stadium last night, moments before, I believe, the moment of silence, or maybe it was just after, but it was right in the vicinity of that. Israel Gutierrez on last night.
Yeah, so I thought the gesture for the teams, maybe because it was the only game on, the first game of the season, they needed to do something, so they did that. it was fine. I thought the booing was obviously just either people lost in this conversation and don't understand what they're booing, or they're just frankly being overtly racist and, you know, booing a sign of unity. And so that in itself, I consider, you know, a sort of a symbol of where we are right now, a microcosm of where we are right now. In the overall, I think staying in the locker room for the anthems, given how much the audience is going to be angered, or certain portions of the audience are going to be angered by the kneeling or by the protest, and given how much has been taken away from it, the meaning of it now, I think, to what the Dolphins said in their video, enough with the fluff and empty gestures, we just won't be there. And I think that makes perfect sense for all these other teams too. You want to criticize us if we protest, you want to criticize us if we don't, we're going to get out of the way, let you guys say whatever you want, but put the pressure on people to actually make a change. And I think that's definitely the way to go right now.
And Sarah Spain?
Yeah, to Izzy's point, I think it's hard to know what way to go, because the people who do want change want to see it in communities fiscally and in a meaningful way and involving ownership and leadership at the highest levels in the league. They don't want statements written in end zones. And so they are going to say, I don't like this. To KB's point, this is too orchestrated. This doesn't feel like a protest anymore. This doesn't feel like it's saying anything. It's just pandering. And the people who are going to argue that all they want is their football, and it was okay to boo because that was something that was fluff and unnecessary, just gave me the football, but then also would never boo breast cancer awareness moments or military appreciation days, understand that their hypocrisy lies in their desire to be ignorant to the conversation. And so both sides are going to dig in their heels. You are going to find people offended by standing or kneeling. And I don't know where you go from there, except to say that unless the change matters and is actually affecting systemic racism and involves ownership and leadership and diversity within the league and within our country, then we do end up just arguing about the same things taking different forms.
Sounds like you don't think the NFL is in a better position to handle this now than they were 4 years ago.
No, because they're not believed. There's no faith that there's actually an intent to change, just to go with the way that the center has moved in our country and go the way, as Pablo said, the money's blowing.
Which I think is what Kevin was talking about when you said protest has been co-opted here. But I have a question for you, Kevin, because you had said this before we sat down. The word unity, you had an issue with the word unity being involved here as well.
Yeah, well, number one, it sounds like we in the media may have misreported that, because that wasn't what was said. And number two, you know, the protests going on in this country right now are not about unity. They're about racial injustice. They're about systemic racism in all corners of society. It's not about unity. It's about inclusion. It's not about unity. You know, it's about justice and equality. And so I think that the word unity was really misused, and really reminded me of what Jerry Jones did with the Cowboys a few years ago, when he had everybody lock arms and kneel and then stand up before the national anthem even played. And so I'm a little bit troubled by that display.
Thanks for your thoughts. Going to take a break right here as we go to break. I know you guys noticed Andy Reid on the sidelines last night, and you got jokes about this fogged up face mask. Go ahead, Sarah Spain. What do you want to say about Andy Reid here?
I mean, Mina Kimes nailed that. He looks like somebody who enters the Zoom with a bad connection. I also think that's why they just kept calling run plays. He's like, yeah. I can't see the field. Run it again.
All right, Kevin, you're a father of a young child. This was Octonauts for me, you know? It's that polar bear that did the Octonauts with the bear. Taking a break. Back into
great Halloween.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season, at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Boston, Toronto. Boston's three wins in this series by an average of 14 points. Toronto's by three. Two coming on the last shot. So, Israel Gutierrez, what's the number one thing that will decide this game?
I know this sounds crazy, but it's Jason Tatum. If you look at that last game from the 6-minute mark of the fourth quarter through the first overtime, it's like he wasn't there. He needs to play like a superstar. If he did, they wouldn't have lost game six. They'd be moving on already.
Okay. Why do you think that's crazy that Jason Tatum, who you call the superstar, that would be the X factor? That's not crazy. Sarah Spade, what's the number one thing in this game?
It's going to be the supporting cast for Kyle Lowry because the Celtics have more weapons they can go to if they're exhausted after that last game. Kyle Lowry is a man on a mission. He just needs a couple other guys to show up kind of big, and I think the Raptors take it.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Blackstone, the number one thing that decides a game seven?
It's the three-point line. It's the Celtics' ability to be the number one three-point shooting defensive team in the league, which they were coming in. First two games, they held them under held the Raptors under 30%. The last game, 40% shooting for the Raptors. And they are one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league.
Sarah's got Toronto. Kevin, Israel, yell it out just so I know who I have
Boston. You
when we get back on Monday. Okay, all right.
Raptors.
Mm-hmm. We'll move on. Lakers 110, Rockets 100. I know you all think this series is over. That's fine. We could talk about D'Antoni, though, because he's described a lack of spirit his team had last night. And you combine that with Harden going 2 of 11 for the game. Zero shots for James Harden in the fourth quarter of this playoff game. Israel, is this a Harden problem, a D'Antoni and small ball problem, or the Lakers just that much better?
I mean, it sure feels like a blueprint type of series, like things are collapsing here, because if you're a superstar, the guy who benefits the most from Mike D'Antoni gives you a fourth quarter like he didn't give too many, you know what, then I think it's then that relationship might be over, and that just means that this has to break apart. D'Antoni has to move on because this isn't going to work anymore than this.
So you think this is a blow it up the team loss here in this series. Sarah, you agree with Israel there?
It is. If the entire experiment is predicated on a superstar who can create his own offense at any time and you allow him to make it about that, then he can't disappear. And he has at some point throughout every playoff series that they've ended up losing. Zero shots in the fourth quarter is unforgivable.
KB?
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I mean, it looked like to me in the first half they quit. And I rarely say that about any professional athletes when watching them play. But it looked like they waved the red flag. And James Harden, you know, it's not the two shots that he made. It's the 11 shots that he took. I mean, Right. Come on. He's taken that many in a quarter before.
You know, they were undefeated this season when they shot over 40% from three. In their last three losses in this series, they shot over 40% from three, still lost. It's possible the Lakers are just that much better. We'll move on. Buy or sell three, Serena Williams. Let's take a listen to her after her match last night.
I mean, it's obviously disappointing, but at the same time, I did what I could today. You know, I feel like other times I've been close and I could have done better. And today I felt like I gave a lot. Maybe I took a little too much off the gas pedal at some point, and then
the record-tying 24th major again out of her reach. She's lost 9 straight majors, longest streak of her career. How'd you see her let down from 6-1 in the first set, and how'd you see and hear her last night, Sarah Spain?
Yeah, it just felt like age, right? She needed to stay turbocharged in the second set and take care of her and not allow a third because, unlike KB, who said the Rockets waved a red flag, when he meant a white flag, it was a white flag that was a red flag for that team. She didn't wave the flag, and she still lost. She was giving it her all, but it wasn't enough anymore, and that's the difference of age.
All right, I'm going to throw a flag on that because I have no idea what you're talking about. Would you call this a failure for Serena, Sarah?
No, I think she did her best, but I do think if she had tried harder in the second and tried to end it there, she might have had a better chance.
Sarah Spain? I'm sorry, Kevin Blackstone. Thank you, Sarah Spain.
Well, I thought Azarenka just rose to the occasion in the second set. I mean, she had Serena going from corner to corner, was making great shots. You can't beat her with her power, but she beat her with her guile. And in the third set, she had more energy. Obviously, Serena was a little bit banged up. And that 24th is just harder and harder to get. I think she'll get it, but it's not easy at 39 years old.
And Israel?
I just don't think she's going to get it anymore, KB. Like, I've lost the faith. I've seen her in enough of these finals, even when she was closer to her peak or to her prime. Now, 6-1 after the first, and she blows it after that. I'm not sure how much the injury had to do with it, but given there was no fans, seemingly less pressure because there was less of the top women in the field, and yet she still fails. To me, I don't think she's going to get it.
All right, guess what, guys? It's a Friday. I'm feeling in a good mood. No elimination today. I want you all here for our next discussion. We're going to talk Dak Prescott and mental health in 2 minutes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for coming back. I know this is not an easy discussion to have on a sports show, but I believe it's an important one. I fear we're on the precipice of a mental health disaster in this country. 2020, a year of such great trauma and anguish and tragedy for all of us, the likes of which we've never seen. You've heard me say on this show before, mental health is simply health. And you've heard me say mental health does not discriminate. Both those two things in play in this Dak Prescott story. Dak this week vocalizing his struggle with depression and anxiety this year in the wake of the death by suicide of his brother Chase. These are exceptional words here. Please listen to Dak Prescott.
All throughout this quarantine and this offseason, I started experiencing emotions I've never felt before. Anxiety for the main one. And then, honestly, a couple of days before my brother passed, I would say I started experiencing depression. Didn't know necessarily what I was going through, to say the least.
He said all this in on depth with Graham Benziger. I'm glad to have you all three with me right now. Israel Gutierrez, how did you hear Dak Prescott there?
Well, I listened to that, and I think of somebody who could be the picture of a perfect life, right? Somebody that's a successful NFL quarterback, a minority, except black NFL quarterback, which is a rarity, and yet he's telling you he was not okay. And I think just in terms of relatability, just in terms of being able to have some sort of therapy, I think that is the best possible thing he could have done. And I lost somebody close to me last month, my ex-husband, who you might have seen on this show, and just talking about that with other people has made this so good for me and for others, and I applaud Dak for what he did.
Thank you for sharing that, Israel. There's such strength and courage in Dak vocalizing the full range of emotions, because you need that full range of emotions. Sarah Spain?
Yeah, it feels like we've come so far as a society in understanding mental health, depression, in accepting it, in encouraging people to get help and to talk about it. And then it worries me how in the sports world there are still some, and there is still this idea of toughness being holding back your emotion, toughness being not talking about the things that ail you. And whether it's a character that people are playing in that toughness or not, they need to catch up because it's incredibly damaging.
We've heard that specifically in the last 24 hours. And I say again, mental health does not discriminate. How we talk about it does. That's an example of stigma. And Kevin Blackstone?
Well, Dak Prescott did a real service, particularly for black men in this country who have experienced a rate of mental health problems that have led to suicide at double the rate of anyone else since about 1980. And we saw what happened to some athletes in this country in just the end of last year. So, brothers, don't be afraid if you're not feeling good to seek help. Help is there for you, and it is real help.
Thank you for saying that, Kevin, because this is a story about death by suicide. If you or someone you know or need, 1-800-273-TALK. Thank you.